Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Season 6, Episode 8 of MindClickers, where it's time to click both heads in 2025. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Mitchell Nicholson, accredited exercise physiologist with a PhD looking at the physiological demands of competitive esports and the transformative role of exercise. Mitch himself is also an elite athlete, having represented the Kookaburras on the senior men's Australian hockey team. Mitch, how are you, mate?
Yeah, great. Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
No, absolutely awesome. I'm really keen for this episode. You know, I'm only 4 months off doing my master, completing my master's in exercise physiology as well. So I think it's really good to sort of have you on board, sort of have some of these discussions about, you know, some of the physiological demands of esports, because it's such, you know, a double-edged blade in terms of there's not too much research going on, but there's research emerging, right? Which I think is awesome. So I'm keen to sort of understand, and I guess your background, how did you, I guess, get into esports? You know, obviously growing up, I imagine a lot of traditional sports, you know, having played hockey pretty younger on. What sort of led you into the esports pathway? And I guess, what was it, I guess, that EP attracted you to EP as well?
Yeah, wow. So lots to unpack in that question, but I'm happy to. But yeah, I grew up with two older brothers, and yeah, we got a console one Christmas, the original Xbox, and yeah, started on Halo Combat Evolved, and
love,
you know,
that.
played a lot of first person shooters through growing up, and a lot of Call of Duty, and then yeah, I got into watching Optic Gaming phase on YouTube, and I keep supporting them in the COD space. So yeah, I watch esports in terms of Call of Duty, but I've just started getting into watching League of Legends as well. So yeah, juggling watching that and playing a lot of video games when I was a young kid, and playing some traditional sports. But yeah, I grew up playing hockey as well. And whilst I was growing up, I grew a love for exercise and wanting to be better and bettering myself.
Yeah.
Just to be better at sport. But I actually found a enjoyment for being in the gym, and I found the role of being an exercise physiologist and being able to help other people in terms of promoting active lifestyles and making them fall in love with exercise as much as I have. So yeah, it's been quite a roller coaster of a journey in terms of finding exercise physiology. I first started out doing a double degree in exercise science and teaching, and then I 3 years into that degree, I moved to Brisbane from Townsville, so far north Queensland, to continue my hockey, and that's where I transferred into clinical exercise physiology, because that's the area I wanted to go into and develop a passion for. So here I am now after 8 years of study, yeah, with a PhD in exercise physiology.
Yeah, love that. Awesome. I think it's definitely so cool to sort of see the journey throughout that individuals take, especially those who have that bit of a, I guess, understanding or a keen curiosity for gaming, especially within Australia. You know, I feel like it's really developing. Like, I look back 10 years ago and I probably wouldn't have been having these same similar conversations in terms of gaming, in terms of esports, in terms of performance and, I guess, interventions that we're having within the field. But yeah, I guess in terms of your PhD, what led you towards looking at esports, and what was it that you wanted to sort of be involved with?
Yeah, funnily enough, in my honours year, in my last year of clinical exercise physiology, there was a project with my supervisor, my PhD supervisor, Dr. Craig McNulty, looking at the physiological demands of esports, and I thought, may as well do it. It's a niche environment. Not many people are doing it, if at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to start something new. And, yeah, I chose to do that for my honours. But unfortunately, due to COVID, I couldn't do any data collection with humans. So I had to change that to a systematic review and complete my degree. But that's where I was like, okay, I can go on to do a PhD now and do the studies that I wanted to do on my honours and build on those and look at the effect of exercise as well. So, yeah, I grew a passion early on in my honours year, and then took that into my PhD with Craig.
Yeah, no, awesome. That's fantastic. I think having that opportunity to sort of, I guess, take the leap into esports is something that not a lot of people get. So I'm sort of glad that you sort of jumped into the field to sort of, I guess, have an active contribution towards our industry, which is just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind and very eye-opening, but yeah, I'm very grateful and fortunate to be one of the leaders in this space.
Yeah, awesome. Are you currently working on, I think I saw you posting on LinkedIn, all throughout the weeks, last couple weeks. Are you currently working on a project at the moment and currently doing some research?
Yeah. So I've got a few projects that I'm currently co-leading with one of my mentors and close friends, Dr. Dylan Polis. He won a grant with Movember, and that is developing mental health guidelines in esports. And we currently have, I think it's now four projects under review, and it's all guided towards developing the initial set of mental health guidelines within esports. So at the end of the year, we'll shoot off to the Global Mental Health Conference in London and present some of this research, and also hold a summit to really finalize the mental health guidelines to further support esports athletes with any mental health issues within this space, and provide a network and a platform for people to actually seek support.
Yeah, no, awesome. I think that's fantastic because you look at, I guess, traditional sports and, whilst we have it within traditional sports, there's a lot of support that I guess a lot of the athletes get in terms of having a psychologist on the team or having someone on the team. But you look at esports and some teams don't even have coaches, right? You're lucky to even get a coach here in Australia. So I think the prevalence of addressing mental health within esports is such an in-demand topic and, developing guidelines and I guess, an overarching sort of systematic rule set towards how we can best provide support to players is needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my background in traditional sports, I have a range of different coaches. So I'm with the Queensland Academy of Sport and the Australian Institute of Sport, and we have access to the mental health referral network where we can see clinical psychologists for mental health support. We have sports psychologists to help us with in game in tournament performance as well. We have skill acquisition coaches and performance analysts that video our games, and we have strength conditioning and dietitians, and there's so many people that actually contribute to all the different attributes of an athlete's career to make us perform at our best. So yeah, I think in the future, maybe longer down the lines with our research, is we can actually start seeing those environments as well within esports. And I think that will help not only with esports performance, but esports well-being and transitioning out of esports and into later life.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's fantastic. I thought sort of look towards the current esports industry and I look towards, I guess, individuals who don't, have a lot of support or a lot of individuals who have potential to go to the next level to play international. And, it always makes you wonder, what if they had that extra little bit of support to provide them and help them chase the 1% that we know. But yeah, I think it's definitely crazy. We reflect back 10 years ago, we probably wouldn't have even having these conversations, right? Or maybe early stages, but it makes me curious about what the next 5, 10 years are going to look like, setting the standard for esports in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And the avenue is massive for it. Like with the amount of investment that is already going into esports, and we say it's in its infancy, is just crazy. So I think as audiences build, as the amounts of teams that build, that support will only increase. So I think as being the founders per se of the research, in this space, I think we can provide a really good platform into supporting growth into the future and promote that sustainability in esports.
Yeah, no, I love it. You even look towards Australia at the moment, and currently the EWC is going on, the Esports World Cup over in Saudi. And I think it was last week. I didn't even realize, but Seven News bought the rights to the EWC, so it's actually on TV. Because I went to go look on Twitch and I guess watch some of the StarCraft games, and I only realized that Seven bought the rights. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So it's, I guess, becoming a little bit more, stock standard towards, addressing different populations here as NRC as well.
Yeah, I think it's really great that traditional media is now picking up esports within Australia and promoting that, especially with the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, stating that they want esports in the 2032 games. We're starting to see this shift now in culture and acceptance of esports within not just Australia but the world. So yeah, it's really cool. But another stat that was really interesting to me from the EWC is that Australia wasn't even the top 20 of people playing and competing within the EWC. But in terms of mental health research, Australia is the most prominent in researching that space. So I think there's a lot of untapped knowledge and understanding of player well-being still left to be uncovered.
Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely, completely agree. When it comes to me, I think one of the biggest things that I've dealt with as a coach that's been transformative throughout my career at the pro level, over the past 4 years, is this level of ambivalence that a lot of pro players have towards addressing things outside of their domain. And what I mean by that is, obviously they've grown up playing games, they've gotten to the pro level without support, they've been doing everything, they haven't really been doing much exercise, sleep, some of the things I don't really care too much about. And sometimes players adopt this mindset that I've gotten to the top because of what I've done. So why would I do something differently? And I guess how important, well, I think I know the answer, but how important is, I guess, to change this narrative to sort of help pro players, I guess, accept or look towards extra performative performance preventions that we can increase?
Yeah, I think it's imperative that we start to encourage these behaviors. It's not going to be an overnight fix, and it's not something that we have to force down people's throats of you need to exercise or you will not get better. It's encouraging environments and supporting environments that actually promote enjoyable exercise or things that they like in terms of nutrition or psychology support or even coaching, because if a happy gamer is someone that's probably going to do it automatically by themselves as well. And that's just informed of some of the research that I've done in terms of physical activity is building that intrinsic motivation towards exercise. We're going to see more active gamers. So yeah, I think in terms of encouraging that, it's just through people in their network or surrounding them, just encouraging them to find something that they enjoy doing and getting started. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, for sure. Do you recommend like even something as just starting small, like going out for a walk, getting some sun, going for a walk around the block a few times a day, just keeping it simple and then progressively look to build upon that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people, when they first start to exercise, they go, okay, I want to get into running. I'm going to try and run 5K and then they might get disheartened and be really sore and then never try it again. So I think what you're saying, yeah, absolutely. Go out and walk, even if it's for 1 minute. Tomorrow, do two, or next week, do 2 minutes. Like, just continually try and build on a small habit and be deliberate about that habit in terms of like schedule in at the start of the week. Say on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, I'm going to exercise for 10 minutes, and this is where I'm going to do it at this time. That can help start building a habit on or when you're going to exercise. So I just think starting small is the best way to do it. But if you don't know how to do it, I think having a support network there or formed would be really beneficial. Or reaching out to people that may know something. May know more on how to develop that, like a psychologist or a exercise physiologist or therapist, depending on where you're from, to help build those environments. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Love it. I've had a lot of success in the past with a few players, just even getting a mate and going to the gym for the first time. And, a previous player had a friend who was, going to the gym quite regularly, and then he became a bit curious about exercise and I guess what it meant to be in a gym. And I guess, for the first time, if you've never been to a gym before, it's a pretty overwhelming environment sometimes. So having a friend to come along and I guess take them through the ropes, if you want, can definitely be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the first time I started out in the gym was with two of my best mates, and you can have a laugh together and when you make mistakes in the gym, but they can also be there to support you and make you feel comfortable in that environment that can be new. Like I think social media puts quite a weird picture on fitness, and people can see that and they can get daunted to they can get scared off from at starting exercise. To begin with. And I think for me, going back, if I was to tell my younger self when I first started out, everyone in the gym doesn't know what they're doing. Like they're just there focusing on themselves. Like it's, You can go there and work at your own pace and lift as much as you want, or as little as you want, and that it'll be a safe environment. No one is there to judge you. Yeah, and just give it a go.
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, that really sort of connects with me because it was like last month. I brought a mate to the gym for the first time. We started doing a bit of boxing. Like I was holding the pads and stuff like that. And he was like, "No, nah, everyone's going to look at me. Everyone's going to look at me." And then we finished the session, and I said to him, "How many people do you remember? How many faces do you remember in the gym?" And he's like, "Oh, maybe, not really anyone, really." And that's reality. A lot of people are focused on themselves at the gym. So yeah, sort of creating that bit of an environment where you can control versus things you can't control, I think is pretty important.
Yeah, and I think like most gyms have a supportive environment like that where people want to see other people be better and better themselves. And I think the judgmental people in gyms are the minority these days. I'm sure it can be daunting thinking that it's a majority, but no, I think they're quite supportive environments these days as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely love it. Now, when we think of, I guess, mental health as a whole, there's one big thing that sort of stands out, and I guess sort of burnout, especially with pro players, and I guess this prevalence of grinding for so many hours, then getting burnt out, and I guess even potentially losing motivation. How important is it sort of managing this facet of burnout so that we can, avoid it realistically?
Yeah, it's extremely important. So if you have highly stressful environments and there's a lot of friction within your team, or you just don't think things are going your way, yeah, I think having avenues to reduce stress will minimize the amount of burnout that we are seeing in esports. I'm no expert in stress and burnout and stress and coping, and I'll leave the deeper conversations of that to Dylan Pollis. He's the expert in that for Australia. But in terms of exercise and managing stress from an exercise point of view, I think implementing active breaks throughout gaming. So if you're playing a long period of time for 8 hours, maybe cut that into two blocks of or four blocks of 2 hours, and every 2 hours you're going out for a 10, 15-minute walk, or even just to go outside, disconnect from the game for a little bit, and then come back and try and be a bit more refreshed. I think these strategies are what's going to, one, improve physical activity within the population, but two, minimize stress and burnout within the population as well. And that way we can have players that will want to continue gaming into later ages of their life, because we do see an early retirement age within esports of young 20s, young to mid 20s. So, yeah, I think we can start pushing that retirement age out a little bit more if we have psychological and physical interventions as well.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I think it's pretty crazy when you look at, I guess, different games as well. Like within Rocket League, I think the retirement age is like 23, I want to say. And we think about that from a different perspective, and it's like, wow, that's really young, right? I guess in comparison, you have like Counter-Strike where you still have pros that are easily 30 plus, right? So I think it goes to show that, you can take, measures to ensure that there is longevity within the space.
Yeah, absolutely. And different game titles have different beliefs, I'd say. Like you can see in League of Legends, they've nearly fully professionalized. They have coaches, they have psychologists, dieticians. Whereas even Call of Duty, the $1 billion industry, they have coaches, and that's about it. So the investment towards coaches and support staff isn't there in some game titles. So it might just be differences across different games.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really interesting to look at, and I guess, you mentioned it there in a keyword being culture. You look at, I guess, League of Legends, predominantly within League of Legends, the top teams tend to be, sort of with those Korean, Taiwan, Chinese type of teams in comparison to, I guess, different games where in Counter-Strike it's more European dominated. So I think, there's potentially really good, I guess, interesting research there in terms of, I guess, specific culture norms and, I guess, esports performance as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll draw back onto the Esports World Cup statistics of where the players are coming from by country. A lot of our research hasn't even tapped into some of these countries. So We don't know what a lot of these players are even doing in terms of training, in and out of the game. So, yeah, I think it can be I think research needs to be done in terms of geographical location and game title. Like, are there differences there? Are certain game titles getting it right currently? Are some getting it wrong? What are the barriers and facilitators to these support networks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely conversations that have to be had to sort of ensure that, I guess, as an industry as a whole, we're on the forefront of pushing player well-being and performance to make sure that ultimately, it is sustainable and we're not having those early retirements. We're not having individuals at 22 dropping out because they've got, I guess, musk injuries or they've got things that are happening for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, for sure. Now, one area that I'm really, really interested in, I know that you've been doing a bit of stuff in this field as well, is I think it was last year at FIFA E, I was watching some of the streams and I saw heart rate on the streams. And I guess this whole idea of, I guess, from a physiological perspective, tracking performance from that perspective for players, whether this is looking at breath work, whether this is looking at heart rate, all these sort of physiological things that we can start to track. How meaningful do you think this is, I guess, from an esports perspective to sort of help push the performance of players?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a great perspective to have. I think, as we discussed before, stress is quite prevalent within esports, and being such a link to our cognitive performance, that being our cardiac health and heart rate. I think this could be a great avenue to start in terms of performance. I did a bit of research with heart rate variability in my PhD. So looking at the variability between successive heartbeats in gaming, at rest, and after exercise. And I think in that acute, looking at that acute stage where you can implement meditation and breath work to try and make someone a bit more relaxed, that could be a way to actually measure it and see if they're, if there is a physiological benefit to what you're doing there in that those acute stages. But as we know, exercise provides such a big benefit to our cardiac health, and there is also a link there to their cognitive performance as well. So being physically active over a long period of time can help improve this and can also support our esports performance as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. Completely agree. We look to, I think it was on social media this week, Cologne's going on at the moment for Counter-Strike and Vitality. There was a clip of, I guess, a team sort of just sitting down and sort of just going through their notes. And then you pan to Vitality, current 7 times major streak winners, and they're all just kicking a football around and just like having fun, enjoying themselves, walking around as a team. They go on team walks every morning, which is something that I used to love doing on teams, just sort of getting the boys up on game day. Have breakfast, go for a walk, sort of digest, reflect about, I guess, what the week's looked like for us, managing expectations, all those sort of cognitive things that come to yourself on game day. So yeah, I think, being physically active and having that, I guess, ability to sort of gel within the team is important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like people can view that as unstructured, where you're just kicking a ball around or whatever. But things that can get you to dissociate from the game and whilst being active can actually be really beneficial, where you're not thinking forward of what if and putting yourself into an environment of where you're putting yourself into the future instead of staying in the present. And that can induce a range of things like anxiety from the start, where you'll see that. And you'll feel that increase in heart rate, and then when stress becomes it, and then that can lead to some stress, and that might be maladaptive to your performance as well. So I think, yeah, and back to your first point, the looking at heart rate, I think that can be, yeah, a really great thing to track in terms of performance and regulation. Like as you were saying, the better players regulate stress better, and we do see that through heart rate variability. So yeah, really big avenue in that space.
Yeah, for sure. I've had some conversations recently, like looking at, I think it was, yeah, again, Cologne, looking at some players, especially like a clutch position where they have to like 1v2 or 1v3 or even in League of Legends prior to a team fight, the premonition of, I guess, some individuals holding their breath. And then realistically, a team fight goes for what, 20, 30 seconds potentially. All of a sudden, they've been holding their breath for 40 seconds. I guess, what sort of implications do you think this can have, I guess, in terms of performance? And I guess, breath work.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I've heard about that briefly, but yeah, definitely breathing will help. Getting oxygen to the brain and body will help you in acute cognitive performance tasks. So if you have that disruption of oxygen and oxygenation within the brain or within your body, you can actually start reducing your cognitive performance in those tasks. Breath work, which would be outside of the game. I don't think any player would want to start focusing on their breath and not their performance in game, but that can help regulate our vagal system. So the nervous system that actually regulates our heart. Mm-hmm. If we're taking physical control and doing breath work,
yep.
That will slow down our heart rate and make us feel a bit more relaxed. So I think that it's extremely beneficial within this space where cognitive performance is so important to esports performance.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's, I guess you sort of captured it really well there. Like those couple of sentences, the importance of doing these small things whereby some players don't even acknowledge or they skip over is so important towards performance and can create the 1-2%, which may win the team fight, may clutch out the situation, and all of a sudden, you've got a contract for another year and a half. So these small little percents that add up in the esports industry, I think are really important to look at.
Yeah, for sure. And like when we're looking at reaction time or problem solving or memory, these little 1%ers, especially within a population where their cognitive performance is already exceptional, that can be a massive difference, because we're talking about a young population. They're really, really, really good at their game in terms of cognitively.
Yep.
They're not going to be going through too much cognitive change. That minute difference is what could set you apart from another team. It'd provide so much benefit to a team by doing these things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely agree. One of the questions that I get asked quite a bit is, I guess, the prevalence of sleep hygiene and ensuring that, you are, accurately hitting the reset button. I guess this is pretty much the same thing, especially, if you've done exercise throughout the day, ensuring that you've had adequate rest as well, so you can sort of ensure that you are hitting the rest button so you can perform the next day. How important do you think sleep is, I guess, in the equation of performance?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think so many lifestyle factors such as sleep can play into esports performance. And I think sleep is one of the biggest pillars within esports performance. If you look at the most researched in terms of these factors, sleep has some of the strongest predictors in terms of overall health. So I think, well, what we see in esports, the culture is waking up late, playing late into the night or into the early hours of the morning, and then going to sleep.
Yeah.
Or not getting sleep at all for an entire day or even 2 days. So at some stages, because they may have a high intake of energy drinks, or they just want to keep playing the game and grinding out that game to be better.
Yeah.
I think it is really important to be promoting structured gameplay where, as I said before, if you're playing for 8 hours in that day, maybe breaking that into 4x2 hour blocks. And after 8 hours, you are trying to wind down and go to bed and getting a full 8 hours sleep, where you're not going, you're logging off the game and then going on your phone in bed and looking at TikToks and things like that and staying awake, that we all do. Trying to promote a restful night's sleep will be great for their performance. So instead of staying awake all night, I think anyone who has stayed awake all night and then try to perform the next day, they haven't performed anywhere near their best. So yeah, it is imperative towards not only esports performance, but the health and well-being of these players and individuals.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. You know, I've seen it firsthand, especially at both world championships that I've been at. You know, you have, you know, prior to, I guess, wildcard or prior to game day, you know, you have some players still out and about at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning when they've got to play at 1 p.m. and it's like, all right, what's going on here? You know, so sort of just taking, I guess, for lack of a better term, accountability towards, you know, what we're doing, especially as, I guess, esports professionals. And I guess, you know, we realistically are in control of the career that we have, and being able to ensure that we're taking the most appropriate measures to ensure that, you know, we can perform when it comes time to perform.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like some people have said it before, sleep deprivation can be as nearly as having a couple beers. Like, you're not going to have a couple beers and then try and compete for hundreds of thousands of dollars at an esports tournament. So, yeah, trying your best to get as much sleep as possible in between competition or even just day-to-day life will, you know, provide dividends in terms of esports performance and well-being.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Love it. I guess from more so from an exercise perspective, do you think that for a typical gamer, there'd be a major difference for an individual who's taking more of a resistance-based approach versus predominantly more of an aerobic-based approach towards, I guess, their exercise mode?
Yeah, great question. I think in the exercise and cognitive function research space, there has been a look at modality. So looking at cardiovascular exercise, high intensity interval training exercise, resistance training, or cognitive training. They all provide similar effects on their own. Aerobic exercise provides some of the better effects to, in terms of overall cognitive performance. But when we combine aerobic resistance training and even cognitive training, we can see some of the best effects on cognitive performance. So that would look like following the World Health Organization physical activity guidelines. That would provide enough to support cognitive performance. But if someone was to do something, and just to get started, I would start with aerobic based exercise. And that can just be as simple as walking. You don't need to pay for anything. If you've got access to walking tracks and footpaths, that's even better and more and better for you in terms of accessibility. But if you do have a free gym from an esports team, maybe combining the two would be your best approach.
Yeah, no, love it. Some great advice there, Mitch. Really appreciate it. I think that, you know, there's always a little bit of, you know, I've got a lot of questions that come in. You know, we've talked about exercise on the podcast as well, and I've had some individual conversations, especially with parents as well, about, you know, gamers and I guess having, you know, that extra exercise modality to sort of help break up the rhythm to ensure that, you know, we are taking, I guess, accountability or looking at our well-being just from a physical perspective, I think is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as I said before and alluded to, is the esports population is a young population. We generally see our cognitive changes in when we're growing up from birth and when we're getting older. So that's a cognitive decline when we're getting older and a cognitive incline when we're younger. We generally see in terms of cognitive performance, we start to reach our ceiling per se around 20. Okay, so and for esports athletes, if they're starting really young in terms of playing, they're going to develop the necessary cognitive abilities to an exceptional standard from an early age and start to reach their ceiling in that aspect. Now, if they're inactive, I think we can start to promote a bit more cognitive performance in the areas essential for esports performance. So, from my research, I piloted an exercise intervention, and the modality of choice was high intensity intervals, aerobic intervals, and we saw some improvements in reaction time and maintenance of working memory. Okay, so there were small changes, and it does need to be taken with a grain of salt because it is a pilot study. But what we are seeing is that there is a positive influence on these cognitive domains that are essential for esports performance, as well as our well-being our resting heart rate variability and resting heart rate significantly decreased after this intervention. So, by implementing some form of aerobic exercise into a daily routine can provide you some big benefits in terms of cognitive abilities.
Yeah, no, absolutely love it. You know, I think it's important to, I guess, have that direct approach towards training our bodies to ensure that, you know, we're able to sort of have that output. I guess from more of a cognitive perspective, is there any advice or any sort of direction you would provide for, I guess, individuals looking to enhance themselves from a cognitive perspective? You know, previously with players, I've used, you know, tools like reaction time or human benchmark to do, you know, visual acquisition searching or scanning to sort of gradually build up cognitive development pathways, but I guess what does it look like from your perspective potentially for, I guess, cognitive development?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great avenue. It's something that hasn't been explored too much within the esports space in terms of a research area. But I'd say from a skill acquisition point of view, I think things that will be transferable will be tasks that are similar to what they're doing in game. So if there's a way of setting up custom games within the esports title that they're doing and working on a skill, that will be more transferable than going to human benchmark and trying to click the button as fast as possible when it goes green. Because that doesn't happen within game. So I think in terms of I think from that point of view, in terms of cognitive ability, we need to think of it from a skill acquisition point of view, which I don't have an expertise in, but people are studying this area, such as Kabir Bubna. He's in that coaching space, and I think Matt Watson as well. So, fact check me on that, and edit it out if I'm not right. But yeah, there is research coming out in that coaching and skill acquisition space where we will see more of an input from what specifically can e-athletes do to improve their in-game performance, and that should come from a cognitive underpinning as well.
Yeah, I love it. Just like having a high degree of specificity towards what you're actually doing in terms of cognitive output, in terms of, yeah, what you want to achieve. I think it's really important and relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, exercise will improve so many parts of our life, and same with psychological interventions, and they will support esports performance. But in terms of what's going to actually improve esports performance is reps within the game, but it can be tailored to the individual and what they need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Love it. I guess looking towards the next generation of, I guess, Australian esports players, you know, we've got some great guys like the Fuse Cup having, I guess, interventions in schools whereby they're building out programs to help, I guess, those in high school get exposure towards gaming and healthy habits. How important do you think it is to provide sustainable education to some of those younger kids who are, you know, looking to potentially look at gaming as a pathway or looking at, I guess, what developing into the esports realm looks like?
Yeah, great. I think it's such an important part of the next generation of esports is promoting healthy gaming. And that's, as I've said, structured times where you're going to be active, eating properly, sleeping properly, having a psychological support network as well. And that is going to be so important for the next generation of esports athletes. Additionally, in terms of my research, I look at the health promotion. I think promoting these other networks of being physically active or eating properly, that's going to be massive within this younger generation, because they will go on and play, and when they get older, they'll have those behaviors that will then trickle down into the younger generations again. So I think these behaviors are so important for the sustainability of esports and promoting healthier individuals when they transition out of esports, if they ever do, because once a gamer, always a gamer. But yeah, a third of the world is physically inactive, and I think with esports having such a large presence within the world, It can be an avenue of promoting physical activity. And if we're promoting these healthy habits, then yeah, it's going to be imperative to not just esports, but the population's health.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's just going to help, I guess, guide especially those in high school, look towards university, look towards different options in university, especially if, in universities now there's more of an esports basis or an esports curriculum. Now that's starting to sort of arise within Australia where there's potentially a bit of a structured sort of pathway towards what esports looks like. Esports doesn't always mean just being a player. There's so many different domains and modes within the esports industry that people can fall into. So, it's exciting for what I guess the next generation has to offer and has to sort of, take advantage of that is being built.
Yeah, absolutely. And in some of that research, in terms of sustainability in esports, is the grassroots are what's important for the sustainability of esports, and having it continue on and thrive with into the future is supporting grassroots esports, and that will be from these curriculums within primary schools, high schools, and into varsity leagues, showing someone that there is a platform to go professional, and a pathway to go professional, but also developing some healthy behaviors in the pathway to go professional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely agree. It's going to be exciting to see what emerges for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, before we roll down the hill towards the end of the episode, is there any research I guess you're curious about or you would like to get into in the future? Obviously, you've got quite a bit going on at the moment, but is there anything that's like, oh, that'd actually be really interesting that you'd sort of be curious about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to build on my PhD. So what I touched on is that I did a pilot study on exercise in esports, and I'd love to gain funding where I can do that in a randomized control trial, and have heaps of participants participating in the research and looking at different modalities of exercise within esports and how that may support esports performance. But my big passion will be to continue researching within physical activity. I want to develop physical activity guidelines within esports, and that can be either international or just Australian based to start off with. But yeah, I'd love to be leading the forefront of physical activity promotion within esports, and as you said, promoting healthy gaming habits. Yeah, that would be that's my avenue that I have a really strong passion for into the future.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think once we sort of have, I guess, more of that, regulated approach towards what we can do and I guess healthy habits, I think it's going to be pivotal for so many players, so many people growing up, like we just mentioned, sort of having that overarching, I guess, agenda that people can start to follow and start to build healthy habits from. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and esports presents this very unique environment of accessibility and promotion of health behaviors. So what that research would look like is looking at barriers, facilitators, perceptions, and preferences of physical activity, and actually understanding what is going on in the world of esports athletes, and how we can actually start promoting physical activity, and not just saying they're physically inactive or they're not doing enough, is how can we actually provide interventions that are going to support
Yeah.
physical activity later in life as well, so they can start doing it automatically by themselves.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think sort of just sort of hitchhiking on that, I think that over time there's become, I guess, a developed stigma with esports players whereby they are predominantly physically inactive. And I think, I guess, changing that stigma towards more of the common, I guess, media is pretty important because realistically, a lot of esports players are actually, doing stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of, I think it's really cool to see a lot of streamers now showing what exercise they're doing, because that's going to trickle down into their audiences, and their audiences will start to become active as well. I think it's really important that people with platforms in esports show that they're trying to be active, or that they're starting, or how active they were before being an esports athlete. Like, everyone's going to be different, and everyone's journey is different, and it's not a this is not a place of judgment It's a place where we need to start supporting people to be active, because that's the way they're going to be active for a long time and not just for a short time.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think we've seen it, increasingly the prevalence of gamification, especially within esports, especially even in traditional sports and rehab, right? Using VR potentially. I've had the opportunity to sort of work with a few rehab patients that have had some mask stuff going on, and I guess chucking them with a VR and I guess going through different movements, and that sort of changes the perception of exercise for some of those guys. So I think the prevalence of gamification is potentially a massive tool on the horizon for sure as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like my clinical background as an exercise physiologist, I would use virtual reality goggles to help with physical activity within pediatric populations. So you can provide that where it's now a fun and enjoyable environment, and they want to keep coming and use the VR headset because it's fun, but it distracts them from the fact that they're actually now doing some form of exercise. And it's not a exercise is no longer a burden to them. They think, oh, I can play a game and I'm being active and it's enjoyable, so I get to do that. So yeah, I think it's a really great avenue.
Yeah, no, for sure. Love it. I think that, yeah, there's going to be emerging so many different tools and facets of gamification that can be utilized within multiple different populations, especially even older adults now. The prevalence of playing games for some of those guys is a little bit of the question mark sort of side of things. But, even giving my mum a VR headset and letting her have a bit of an explore and do some exercise on that, it's been pretty fun. So I guess, yeah, the increase in, I guess, even the older generation is pretty crazy as well.
Yeah, and from that point of view, there is some research to show that it helps with their cognitive performance later in life, and it delays the cognitive decline of aging, and it offsets dementia in older adults. So, yeah, using these tools can provide a cognitive benefit even within our older clinical populations as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Love it. Fantastic. Before we finish up with some final advice for players, what we'll do is I've started a segment on this season, which is pretty much rapid fire questions. So first answer that
Right.
comes to mind, just spit it out. And yeah, we'll see how we go.
Hopefully no editing of this one.
Who do you think would win in a deadlift competition? A COD player or a League of Legends player?
Todd.
COD player? Why do you think that?
Have you seen Doug Sensenmartin? That guy was jacked, and Scump, the goat of Call of Duty, he used to be jacked. So yeah, I'd say Call of Duty.
Legendary. If you had to replace a gym session, now we're not saying we're going to do this, but if you had to replace a gym session with an esports game, what game would give you the best workout, do you think?
What's that dancing one? Oh, that can get really hard.
Just Dance?
But yeah, Just Dance. Yeah, I reckon Just Dance for sure.
Beautiful. What's the weirdest recovery strategy you've tried? This could even be reflecting back on your time as a hockey player.
Weirdest recovery. They've all been pretty stock standard. It's pretty boring.
Yeah. Did you used to have a plus like a game day? A lot of players that I've talked to, even traditional sport athletes, like to wear like favorite socks, favorite shirt, that sort of stuff, like a bit of a placebo.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What is
Yeah,
yours?
there's a time where I played a really, really good game of hockey,
Yeah.
and it was in this specific pair of jocks. So I wore
Oh.
those jocks on game day every day. And
Love
then
it.
I had a bad game and then I threw them out.
Yeah, all good.
So.
Post competition cheat meal of choice, or post, I guess, gym cheat meal of choice.
Oh. Cheat meal. I've been rocking a jam filled donut recently, or a
Really?
Nutella filled donut. Yeah,
Wow.
that'll be the Friday treat after training at the moment. So shout out Brot in Perth. Yeah, really good.
W. See if Brot tunes in, eh? Love that.
Get some new viewers.
If you could invent one wearable for gamers, what would it be?
Oh, one wearable. I'd say it's got to be the HexoSkin, where they just put on a shirt. It tracks respiration, heart rate variability, so many different variables from that, where it's just a shirt. It's not invasive, and it's not going to be invasive to their gameplay. It provides a lot of valid and reliable measurements. Yeah, I'm not creating it. It's already created.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's what I'd use.
I've
Yeah.
never. I think I've heard about it very briefly, but is it used within many esports teams, or is it pretty underutilized?
Underutilized. I think we've got about six now at QUT that we're doing some research with.
That's awesome.
So, maybe a few more. But yeah, we're looking to put them on players and take physiological measures that way, instead of more invasive ECG, where you're getting them to take their shirt off, you're putting electrodes on. That can be very invasive, for some people. So yeah, just having them put on a shirt, in their own time. And then we just plug in a device into that shirt, and that takes all the measurements that we can export later.
That's
So I
awesome.
think, yeah, it's really good tech.
Yeah, wow. Definitely have to keep on lookout for that. Which video game character would make the best personal trainer, do you think?
Video game character. Look, I'm gonna be biased to COD because I play too much COD, but Captain Price, COD 4, where you're going through the old school and he's just chatting there.
Yeah, love that. I'd probably say Master Chief from Halo. I reckon he'd give you a pretty
I
good shout.
do, yeah, I do love Halo, and yeah, if I had that theme song playing in my ears, I'd be exercising nonstop. I'd run through a brick wall.
Love that. Ice bath or sauna for recovery?
Depends. Like most things, it depends. If I'm trying to gain muscle, probably not going to be doing the ice bath, because that can slow down your gains. But if I'm in a hot environment like Perth summer, I probably won't be jumping in the sauna. I'll probably just go to the beach. So it depends. If it right now, I'd be doing the sauna because it's the middle of winter and we had a -1 degree day the other day. But if I'm in competition and I want to wake up, I'll take the ice bath.
Love it. Awesome. I probably know the answer, but if you could instantly fix one bad habit in all esports players, what would it be? Just one.
Sleep. Why do they have to game so late? Like,
Okay.
I reckon, yeah, I won't take the low-hanging fruit of just promoting
Exercise.
physical activity,
Yep.
but yeah, why do we stay up so late to play the game? Why can't we all just go, how about we get on at
We get on
10 a.m.
at
and go to bed
teens.
at 10 p.m. and like that's 12 hours still. And I don't know. Maybe I'm too old. I'm going on 30.
Yeah, there was, I think, for a little while in Europe in the Rocket League scene, a lot of teams tried to get everyone to scrim at like midday, 12 p.m. That way, it frees up the evening; they can enjoy the evening a bit more. But the issue was that they did it come scrim time. A lot of players were still asleep at lunchtime, so they couldn't do
Right.
it.
Okay. Well, I like the idea.
The
I
attempt.
think we need more of that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Great. That was all the rapid fire. You did well, mate. Good job.
Thank you.
Now, I guess as a sort of parting message for all of the players sort of tuning in, looking to sort of have a potentially curious about exercise, what can it provide them? How can they, I guess, what are the steps they could take? We definitely covered it throughout the episodes, but I guess any last final advice for some of those players tuning in, looking to, I guess, increase or start exercising for the first time?
Yeah, and it's probably going to be very basic, but just start. Just start. Like, as a young person, I reckon I was 130 kilos in grade eight. So I was quite overweight, and I'm so happy with myself for just taking the first step of just starting. Like, go for your first walk. Even just put on your exercise clothes. If you put on your exercise clothes and go, I don't feel like it today, then try again tomorrow. But just start. Just try and put one foot in front of the other.
Love it. That will definitely put into a bit of a content piece for sure. Awesome. For everyone listening and tuning in, where can we find you? Where can we connect with you if you want to reach out, ask some questions, LinkedIn, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, great. So I've been trying to promote my research on my Instagram, which is Moch Pierre. Actually, I changed it.
Okay.
My Instagram is Doc Moch, so DOC dot MOTC triple H.
Awesome. I'll put that on the website and in the caption as well. Anywhere else, or primarily just that place for the moment.
And LinkedIn, which is Mitchell Nicholson.
Beautiful. Yeah, we'll pop that there as well. Yeah, great. Awesome. Thanks, Mitch, for jumping on and sharing some insights around the world of exercise and I guess physiological demands of exercise as well, in terms of I guess some of the important things we can take into consideration which align with our performance. I think we had some really good discussions, especially around the prevalence of, I guess, addressing mental health, which I think is really important for a lot of pro players who sort of hide in their, not really hide in their shell, but are a little bit ambivalent about looking towards the things that can help them and guide them to be performing better nowadays. I think it's great that people are starting to take more action or step outside their shell and look towards things they can do, which is great. But yeah, I guess you having you on and sharing your insights is just going to help so many more players sort of take that next step or take that step for the first time. So really appreciate it, mate.
Yeah, no worries at all. Anytime. I'd just like to say thanks for having me on, and thank you for providing a network for and a platform for researchers like myself to promote our research and send the good word of to esports. So yeah, thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. And I'll also put Mitch's research in the description as well. So if you're curious and want to check it out, definitely be sure to do that. Legendary.
Right.
Awesome. Appreciate it, mate. Have a good day.
Thanks, mate. You too.
Bye.
Thanks.